Hi, this is Pete Allen. This is 5 Live Drive Story of the Day. Gordon Brown has announced the election will take place, as expected, on May the 6th. Our election panel, David Blunkett, David Davis and Sir Mingus Campbell, were on hand to chew over the day's events. I began by asking David Blunkett why this election really mattered.
Being sick of your own life, your own future, the chance of having a job, your child's education, what happens with your GP surgery or the local hospital, those are things that really do matter to people. And somehow we've got to reconnect the choices that we make through political decision-making, not just in this general election, but actually in trying to devolve decision-making to people as well, to get people involved in what's happening in their own community and their own lives. We've got to try and link those up. I knock on doors regularly, and I remember knocking on a door and saying, "Where's your daughter? She's at the local sixth form college. Oh, I'm really pleased we got that off the ground 5 years ago. Oh, did you have anything to do with that?" As those, you
know, all those years, David, and that.
Cloud computing. Yeah. I thought, oh, please.
Give me a break. David Davis, I mean, you know, I hope we can occasionally have a smile as we talk about all this, but, you know, it is a bit depressing, frankly, to see the kind of public reaction to not just the politics, but to the whole concept of an electoral process.
Actually, I'm not sure. Today, round here, I feel a sense of relief. Now we've got on with it, with the phony war is over. We're starting, even your listeners won't know, but we're sitting in the middle of what looks like a big school fete here.
Yeah, there have been lots of people crowding in and looking at us through the
door.
Through
and, lots of excitement.
And if
but
you get in, this is just about what a school will look like.
Get on.
Guy ropes.
Oh. I can see how this next 4 weeks is going to go.
Yeah, okay, I'll give you the chance to make one quick.
But of course it's important. I mean, you know, this is about setting straight our broken economy, broken society, putting right the things that have gone wrong for the last 13 years. It's a real big decision that's got to be made. And actually, for the first time, it's a decision that's going to be made with real debates between the leaders on television, which is actually, I think, a massive historic event.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to watch. Sir Mingus Campbell, and for a first time for a while, Liberal Democrats with a real chance of getting their hands on a bit of that power.
Well, Nick Clegg, of course, getting his hands on a bit of that debate, because he will be in the three-handed debates as an equal partner, and that's a great opportunity, and as he readily acknowledges himself, a great responsibility. Let me go back to the word opportunity, because you're quite right. The disaffection over expenses, the general disaffection over the political system, but we do have an opportunity in this election to make that reconnection that both Davids were talking about just a moment or two ago. And it's down to us. We've got a chance. We've got 4 weeks. We've got the opportunity provided by your programme. We've got the opportunity of going now, knocking on people's doors. We do have a chance, and it will be down to us to see if we can make that connection.
One of the ways of making the connection is telling people the blunt truth. And as a kind of outsider, as a journalist, I can understand exactly why a political leader can't really afford to tell me the truth of what he might have to do in the next year if the economy doesn't grow as they hope it might, and if they really have to start cutting into public spending and putting up BAT and doing terrible things because it will lose your votes. But it's the truth. And that's a problem, David Blunkett, in that, you know, politicians can't tell you the truth. I've got to be honest, you can't really tell me what you think might happen after the next election.
Well, if you mean that all three major parties are actually saying that we can save vast sums, billions, tens of billions of pounds without it affecting people's services, then that is what we're getting at the moment. And I hope in the next 4 weeks, it's a dangerous thing for me to say, that we will firm up a bit on all this, because you can't have it for nothing. It is just not possible.
All this efficiency savings business. I mean, how many times have you heard this in your years in Parliament? Yeah. Efficiency savings.
Well, exactly. And the other thing, I agree with, there's a risk of agreement breaking out here.
We'll put but you through in charge.
But in addition to that, there's this question in the past of wish lists. People producing manifestos which say, we'll do this, we'll do that, we'll do the other thing. The public are alive to that. And for that reason, I think on this occasion, for these 4 weeks, then if you don't tell the truth, if you don't explain that if you give a tax cut, you have to take money away from something else, then the public will repay that with their scorn and, if necessary, their votes for other parties.
Well, I think actually there is a good point here, that this will be an election in which the public will score the politicians on honesty, I think. I mean, we had this argument within each of the parties, I think, last year over talking about public spending control, because it's clearly going to be necessary, and with the huge debt levels and so on. So I do think there'll be premium points for honesty, and it'll be a hard call, because, as David says, you can't actually bring the economy back under control without some painful decisions. Philip Hammond was being asked about this seven or eight times earlier this afternoon. afternoon. I watched it on television. And he was saying, yes, we are going to lay this out in some detail. So we'll see.
We'll see. We look forward to
the grim reality.
All right. Televised debates, David Brunkett. Good thing, bad thing. I remember I was looking at an exposition of the way politics and television had kind of mingled together over the years. It was done through Panorama, in fact. And in the early days, someone like Churchill would say, look, once you get on television, you're going to destroy Parliament. And you know there's a case to be made that we've now finally got the only debate that matters happening on the television and not over the road there in Parliament anymore.
Well, I think that the debates are very important for the public, but they're bound in. I think there are 27 regulations on there. It's going to be stultified. I mean, I'm a bit worried.
Well, somebody just break them, aren't they?
I don't mean that they should punch each other. I just think it should,
boredom. John Prestman's not on, actually.
The other thing that's even worse than disdain is complete boredom.
I look forward to the unregulated debates
Lives. In a funny sort of way, when they get in there, if somebody chooses to ignore, what's going to happen then?
Can I take your serious point? Well, one of the things when we were making a noise outside the tent a little while ago, one of the things we were agreeing about was the fact that the chamber has ceased to be the place where great events took place. And we were recalling Margaret Thatcher when Geoffrey Howe's famous intervention about the cricket bat.
That's
and
right.
Margaret Thatcher's face changing as she realised how serious
and
it was.
And suddenly you saw it all, the plot precisely was exposed in public for you to watch.
And then she came back after having lost the leadership or stood down after the first ballot, and she took part in that quite extraordinary debate. And we would reconnect the public, with Parliament if there were more parliamentary occasions. That's a sense in which I think television has not served Parliament well, because you can sit in your office, comfortable office, increasingly comfortable offices, and watch what's happening in the chamber without actually going there and taking part.
I'm not quite so pessimistic. I mean, I think Ming's got a point, because television tends to go for the soundbite, and therefore, actually, that does diminish politics. But we have had, I mean, David and I have had the odd skirmish, which has really got attention in the Commons. More importantly, perhaps, the great Iraq debate that Tony Blair took part in and famously said the things that perhaps he wished he hadn't now. So, there are a whole series of things where this could come back. But I actually think, I mean, I've actually debated on television, of course, with David Cameron, in the leadership contest. Yeah. And I remember at the time thinking, this is it. The prime ministerial contest is going to have this now. And I think it's a good process. It's wearing. You've got to go through and know all your
facts. There's a difficulty, though, isn't it, David, that it's all going to hinge in the end on the television debate. We'll be talking about it before it happens.
First time out, of course, is a risk. That's true. And indeed, every week is going to be around. You're going to have the pre-match commentary, the post-match commentary. You're going to have us, no doubt, on the Friday talking about it.
We'll analyse it.
And for the leaders themselves, I mean, perhaps it's a top secret, but I happen to know the sort of arrangements which are going to be made for Nick Clegg in order to make sure he's properly prepped. We know that they've been looking across the Atlantic at what they do in the presidential debates there. I mean, it's going to take quite a large part out of their week.
He's not going to have something written on the back of his hand?
I thought you were going to tell us about how he's going to be rotated out of the centre. He can't have the centre spot.
Well, fascinating, gentlemen.
Thanks for downloading from the BBC. To find other downloads or more information, go online.
bbc.co.uk/5live